Wait, check your mic, check your mic.
Take that, take that.
You ready? For the revolution.
I was born ready.
Okay. I think we got it, Lana.
Great, let's get to rolling.
I'm not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show.
Is officially in the building, baby. You ain't gonna say nothing to the people, Lana.
I am. Okay. Chill on me.
Well, Lana's here too, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
But welcome everyone to the Mookie Mel Show. Thank you once again for your time, your efforts, your energy, and most of all, thank you for committing to listening. We have another phenomenal episode in the works for y'all. I'm very excited for what's in the cooks. But first, I'm gonna tell y'all about some things to come. Jigga Man and I, as I previously said in one of our last episodes, we want to try some new endeavors and avenues in 2018. So I want to be the first to introduce you all to Wait a Second Wednesday. And Wait a Second Wednesday is ultimately going to be just a bunch of, or a few, or just one short clip. It'll be on relevant topics, subjects, even previous episodes. But it's a double pun, because not only will these videos be short, hence Wait a Second Wednesday, but get this, it'll be every second Wednesday.
I like it. It's pretty dope.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So y'all look forward to that. That'll be coming out this coming up Wednesday. Again, the Mookie Mel Show on Facebook is our fan page, so check it out. We always look for feedback on there. And let's get into this episode. We're going to be speaking on peer pressure today. As I said, I have one of my dear friends, Lana, in the building, y'all.
We in here. We live.
We got Lana. She's a seventh grade teacher in NEISD. And that's Northeast Independent School District. In Texas. So we're extremely blessed and fortunate to have Lana. Lana, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
You want to know about me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, y'all. I am a Texas transplant. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, alumni of Michigan State University. Go green.
Go green.
Let's go white, too.
Oh, and white.
Yes. But I'm a math teacher for NEISD. And I just love learning. I love teaching. And I think my love for learning transpires into teaching. So we take it every day as a blessing it is. And I'm also a coach and an athlete. So just a little bit about me.
Nice. No, I dig it, Lana. I dig it. And that's why I felt you were more than capable. And I appreciate you coming on the show. This will be a great episode. As I said, the topic is peer pressure. But I do have something I would like to read real quick in terms of peer pressure. Individuals are affected by peer pressure daily. Peer pressure can have positive and or negative effects on different individuals. Peer pressure is also situational, meaning that each individual, relationship, interaction is all different depending on the person. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with my dear friend Lana, who works with seventh grade students. And that, y'all, seventh grade is a very tough, interesting, challenging, fun time.
Very interesting time.
Right? You know, so I can't wait to pick her brain. I can't wait to expose y'all to some of this knowledge and perspective. But let's jump right into it with S1. So, Lana, as a teacher, what types of effects does peer pressure have on your students?
Honestly, I've seen positive and negative peer pressure on my students. I've seen my students flourish and grow because of the pressures of some of their peers. And I've seen some kids do not so well. But it depends on the person and the situation, like you said earlier. So.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. And I hear that. And what kind of determines whom creates this pressure? Like, who is the leader and who's the follower? Is there, have you noticed a trend, or is it kind of individual based? Or like, I mean, you're in the schools with these students. What do you feel is, you know, the factor that makes the leaders from the followers?
I honestly think that it depends on the situation, not necessarily the person. Because I've seen some students or some children be the leader in certain situations, but when they get around a different group of friends, they're more so of the follower than they are the leader. So I think it just depends on who's in the setting, who's in the friend group, and what is happening. You know, it really depends on the situation and not necessarily the person.
Wow. That's powerful, because you say that amongst children, but I see that on a daily with adults.
You know, my dad always said kids, adults are the biggest kids you'll ever deal with. So,
I like that. Adults are the biggest kids you'll ever deal with. So, okay, let's run with this, Lana. So what is the difference in these individuals who go from leader to follower? Do you think they're going from positive peer pressure to negative peer pressure becoming the follower? Or is being a follower given a negative connotation at times? Can you kind of...
What do you mean by that?
So is it good that some of these, at times, leaders become followers? Are they succumbing to peer pressure? And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it depends, I feel. So, like, say I can be a leader in the classroom, right? But I'm not that strong on the court, but I'm pressured by like my teammates, but positively, I'm still falling into the follower role versus where I can be stronger. So I guess it's, you have like those transferable skills. They don't know it yet, but like you're getting those transferable skills, you know, early. But it could also be for the worse, you know, because you can be that positive influence with a group of friends, but you want to be popular or known. And sometimes if you notice the only people that's getting attention are those who are getting in trouble, then sometimes you might fall on the wayside and succumb to peer pressure. You know what I'm saying? But I think it really just depends on how strong-willed the kid is and the situation, like I said earlier. But you know, like kids, but in middle school is the prime age where you're going through identity versus role. With Eric Erickson, the psychologist, you have, that's that phase or that time in their life where they're going over identity confusion versus role characteristics. You know, they're trying to figure out who they are.
Okay. So. No, I hear you in that. That was well put. But let's...
Did I, like, not answer your question?
No, you answered my question phenomenally. I thought you might have wrote a book on it. Oh. No, that was good. But my question now, just based off that response, why do you think followers receive a negative connotation at times, although in reality they're showing maturity by understanding that they aren't the expert in said topic? You know, because often we talk about peer pressure and say, don't be a follower. But sometimes in certain situations, if I'm understanding you correctly, you do need to be a follower.
I mean, everybody can't be a chief. What's the point of having too many chiefs and not enough Indians?
Yeah.
But when we go, I think to answer the first part of your question is why do they get a negative connotation to being a follower? Mm-hmm. I think that plays in part with... Like, let's not look at that positive peer pressure. Let's look at that negative peer pressure.
Right.
That, I mean, I feel like you get the negative connotation because it indicates that you're not strong.
Right.
You can't think for yourself. Yeah. You don't know who you are. But, I mean, at that age, they don't know who they are. So I think that's why you get that negative connotation when you think about peer pressure in the negative aspect, because you're not able to distinguish between sometimes what's right and what's wrong, or you may know what's right and what's wrong, but you haven't developed that strong will enough yet to make the proper decision and instead of going with the crowd.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And that makes sense, Lana. And on so many counts, it's easier to thrive on negativity instead of positivity. So thank you for clearing that up. But let's jump into S2 in sports. So, Lana, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but what's this? I hear that you're a coach, or huh?
Uh-huh. Yes. I coach girls volleyball and basketball. Wow. For 7th and 8th grade.
Okay, so you get a little mix in the age groups now.
Yes, I mix it up a little bit.
Okay, and how do you like that?
It's interesting. I like it because I get to interact with the other students. Yeah. With the school, you know, it's hard because you form that relationship and then the next season you don't have those girls. So it's a little heartbreaking, but because you build a bond. But, you know, I like it. I get to finally coach my girls I teach. So I'm good.
Nice. Okay. Well, along those lines, Lana, how do you see the effects of peer pressure when you're coaching?
The effects I see on peer pressure when I'm coaching. Let's see. I see positive and negative, right? Mm-hmm. So being a coach and a classroom teacher, I get to see it on both aspects, mm-hmm. during the day and in practice. Peer pressure I've seen it in practice, you know, with the intentions of being good, but the person it's happening to, you know, they don't take it so hot, you know?
What do you mean?
So when you see the potential in an athlete, or you see the potential in your teammate, your first instinct is to push them, right? Push them harder. Because, like, I know you can be more. I know you can give more. You can be great. You know, I'm just trying to let you be great, right? So I've seen it to where you have that natural instinct to want to push your teammate. But what the girls don't realize is, yes, you see that potential in your teammate. But it's a lot different coming from your friend's mouth than your coach's mouth. You know, I can talk to a student and I'm like, yo, you're really good. You know, I'm just pushing you to go harder, because to get to that next level, you need to push a little bit harder, be more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, but when you have your coach saying that to you, it's like, okay, you know, I'm a push. But when you have your teammate saying it as well, and you know, in the 7th grade, you're probably not saying it in the most tactful way, you know, it can push you to the edge. And so we had a student quit because she's like, it's just too much, right. You know, because they're just pressuring me and it breaks you down, even though you're just saying like, hey, you know, let's go a little harder, you know. And it's a coachable kid too.
Right.
Very coachable person.
So in that situation, Lana, would you, obviously, you know, no one's at fault, but would you say it ultimately came down to the recipient of the message or the message deliverer, how it was given?
I would say both. She's back. She's playing, okay. You know, so.
Kudos to the coach. Coaching resilience, huh? Who did that?
It was a collective effort.
Okay.
It was a collective effort.
No. Awesome. Okay. So you referred to this a little bit ago, but you said you get to see the girls in not only the classroom, but also in an athletic setting. And previously you mentioned how, you know, kids can change depending on their situation, their environment, their peers. So what kind of differences do you notice as a coach and as a teacher?
So as a coach and a classroom teacher, I notice a lot of different things. Especially when you have that one student who you would have never thought played a sport and they do, you know, it just helps that bond grow closer in there. They're more open. I also see it with not just my girls, but my boys as well. You know, I had a student, he was very quiet, but basketball season rolled around and it's like his whole personality came out. And I'm like, where was this in the beginning of the school year? You know,
right.
It's great, but you know, they form those relationships. And I like to see it because as a classroom teacher, I notice like when my kids are playing sports, they're pushing their teammates like, yo, you know, you need to do your work.
Yeah.
You need to go to tutoring. Or if they're acting up, they're like, I literally have boys like, man, you an athlete and she a coach. You better get it together, you know.
Right.
And they'll like reel it in. So like I see their personalities. And some of them have two totally different personalities. Like I can have a student who is very vocal on the court, but not vocal in the classroom, or vice versa. They're like vocal in the classroom and very timid, you right. know, playing. So right. it's interesting right. to see. It's pretty interesting to see. So.
I 100% hear and feel that, especially coming from a former athlete myself. No, I talked a lot everywhere.
I can believe that.
But it's cool. It's cool. I definitely can appreciate it. But I think not only is it important that the students realize, but you realize as well, you know, that they are very impressionable. They're at a delicate age. And, you know, not only are they holding themselves accountable, but they have someone as cool as you, Lana, to hold them accountable.
I like that you mentioned they're impressionable. And I've had this conversation with like multiple students. At this age, some students really don't see the influence they have mm-hmm. on their peers. Like I'll have to like pull them to the side, like, hey, you know, like I'll notice some students will listen to others more so than somebody else.
Right.
And some just like, hey, you know, take them under your wing a little bit, you know,
yeah.
and it'll, but they don't realize how influential they are, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Digs. Well, S3. Let's get it. S3 with scholars. So, Lana, I know you're a teacher, and I just kind of want to pick your brain as not only a teacher, but an educator and a life influencer. So, I wanted to ask you a few questions in scholars along peer pressure. Obviously, you have the best interpretation since you are the teacher. But what is your greatest influence on your students?
I think my greatest influence on my students is consistency. And I think I do that through being transparent with them. I always let them know that there will be struggles ahead, and I always stay consistent and show perseverance. And when it comes to the academia side of things, I always let them know, like, hey, you have a choice. Mm-hmm. And being consistent and not falling into peer pressure all the time, it pays off. It pays off a lot, so.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And, but what do you mean, Lana, you have a choice? Choice in what? Like,
to go to school? Everything, everything, everything.
To go to your class, to pay attention.
Exactly. Like, you have a choice to go to class. You have a choice. Like, obviously, you would think that you, hey, I'm going to go to class. I'm in school. But every day, every minute, you're making a choice. And that choice has repercussions. And with that choice, it just, if I go to class, I had the opportunity to learn. Right. If I skip, then I'm missing out on learning and possibly getting in trouble. If I go to class, I can actively learn, or I can lollygag around and just sit there. And then I'm playing catch up if I make the wrong choice at the end of the semester. So
yeah, no, I hear that. So in a nutshell, you know, your title's math teacher, but in
layman's terms,
you're a life teacher.
I am. At the end of the day, I teach them life lessons because although I know you need math, you also need to know how to navigate the world and the society. And as a teacher, they're with you 8 hours a day. For me, I have them 45 minutes, but they see you day in and day out. So just being consistent, like I teach them life lessons. When something happens in class, especially when it comes to like peer pressure, I let them see both aspects, both sides of the story. Like, yes, I know your intentions may have not been ill, but how things are perceived.
So, okay. Do you think your students understand or realize the effect you have on them? Or do you think they're too young to realize? Or are some of them, you know, because seventh grade is an interesting age, you know. You're coming of age, you're coming into your own. Do you think they're realizing what kind of role you have on their lives?
I think it depends on the child. I feel like some students are at that level mentally and maturely enough to understand the impact that you have. Yes, I teach seventh grade, but I also coached eighth grade. So I think sometimes with those eighth graders, I think they understand more so than a seventh grader does. But I have, you know, some students are advanced and they do recognize, and some are still a little young, so.
No, I hear you. That's cool. And that makes sense. That's every day. And, you know, we all deal with that type of procedures on the regular, whether that's at work, protocol, whether that's, you know, if you have pets, some pets are different than others.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's, you know, you have a pair of shoes.
They're different for a different occasion.
Yep, exactly.
I'm not going to wear no pumps to play basketball.
Right,
so.
Right. No, okay, fair enough. But how about this, Lana? Is there ever a time teachers should allow the peer pressure of students to affect them as well?
Well, can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, so, for example, I mean, any trend. Obviously, students will be aware of any trend going on. Or some at times, even social awareness. It just depends on, you know, situational endeavors. But is there ever a time that you feel a teacher should succumb to the pressure of the students?
Yes, I do think that the teacher sometimes should fall under the pressures of your students. Earlier, you mentioned trends. So if I notice there is a popular trend going around and I can find some way to incorporate that trend into my lesson to capitalize on their competence of it or their grasp of something, then yes, I'm going to fall under the pressures of my students. So if they...
What's an example of one of those trends you're referring to?
Music. Let's think about music. If there's a catchy song and I'm trying to teach you a formula that you're going to need to remember and you can't remember that, then I'm going to take the beat of that song or just change the word, the lyrics, so that you remember it and it sticks with you.
Right.
So that's what I kind of mean by like falling under the pressures of like trends or whatever's trendy at the moment. Like, rake it up. You know, you can easily, add it up, you know, whatever.
Right. Okay. No, I hear that. And I think that's wise at times, just to, you know, encourage the interest and influence you're having among your students. But kind of vice versa, do you ever find that you use the nature of peer pressure to your advantage when teaching?
I do. And I find that very prevalent when I'm creating my seating chart.
Yeah.
So if I'm working in groups, I'm going to make sure that I have a leader in a group.
Right.
If I'm seating them in pairs, I may put someone that is weaker with a leader or two leaders together or two leaders in the vicinity of other pairs. So I think it just depends on what I'm trying to accomplish, but I definitely do take that into consideration for sure.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Well, finally, Lana, you've given me some great input and insight today, but I did want to ask you, what is the most fulfilling part about you being a teacher?
I think the most fulfilling part about me being a teacher is the relationships that I build with my students, and seeing the growth throughout the year. One thing for me is like when I see a student struggle, and when that light bulb finally clicks, and it's just like, oh, they get it, and that their confidence boosts, it skyrockets when they believe that they can do something. I think that's the most fulfilling part, just knowing that I can be a positive influence in their life, because all of our kids, they come from many different walks of life. And I just think the positive relationships that I build with my students is the most fulfilling, because not only am I being a positive influence to them, they're being an influence to me as well, and they don't even know it. You know, they're forcing me to be consistent, and they teach me to be a better adult, right, while I'm trying to help them be a better child.
That's powerful. You know, as an old saying is, iron sharpens iron. Yeah. And many times, you know, adults try to take away the iron, you know, quote unquote, that children may have. But in reality, or in hindsight, or even in a different perspective, they're sharpening us.
Yeah, they make you look at things from a totally different perspective.
Right.
You know, because you realize, you know, you grow up a certain way.
Right.
And you think everybody else thinks that way. But children are brutally honest. And they will checkmate you.
Children are brutally honest.
Brutally honest.
You can try to say hi to a small child and they'll say, why does your breath stink?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's, there's a beauty in that honesty and some other things that comes along with adolescence and childhood. But no, I definitely hear you. I definitely want to thank you, Lana, for your time.
Thank you for considering me.
I know everyone's already loving this, but Jigga Man,
you're...
JJ.
Hey.
Go hit the people with the facts, man.
Yes, sir. So, this is our first episode of 2018. I know we had that New Year's one, but this is, you know, the official first episode. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed editing it. I enjoyed mixing it down. I mean, Lana is just very well-spoken, and it's a topic that's also interesting. And her perspective, on top of that, is just perfect. And, like, Miles couldn't have chosen a better candidate for this topic. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode, as I did. We were a bit late. I was a bit late with putting this episode out, and, you know, I'm going to take the blame on that. I was just traveling back to California, and I'm here now, and I'm safe and sound, so sorry about the delay once again. Besides that, I don't have much. Just, you know, thank you for listening. Thank you for returning every week. Also wanted to reemphasize the Way to Second Wednesdays. Those are going to be pretty dope, so be on the lookout for those. Otherwise, I really don't have much else. Stick to those resolutions, people. You know, I know it's... I know we're already a bit past that phase, but stick to them, okay? And have a good week. We will see you next week. Jay out, Mookie Mel Show, outie!